Blog Talk Radio.
God soldiers,
it's time to take our place as the chosen. We must bring the heat from the streets and unthaw the minds of the masses that's frozen. There's no need to carry a Mac 10 when you understand the power of the pen. This is our greatest hour. We can't be afraid to speak truth to power. It all comes down to this moment. Do you want it or do you hold it? Do you want
time is like the mind. You can't afford to waste it.
Success is on our fingertips. Can you taste it? Can you
we
taste
must
it?
Face it.
We either we arise and shine, or we complain and die.
A nation of our own,
a nation of our own.
God didn't promise space, man. He promised land.
God didn't promise space, man. He promised land.
God didn't promise
and
space,
that
man.
My words,
land.
The high priestess of information.
Economy.
And that's my word. God didn't promise space, man. He promised land.
God didn't promise space, man. He promised land.
The high priestess of information.
Itani.
And that's my word.
Good evening, and thank you for joining another episode of Conscious Conversations. I'm so thankful to the God Allah for blessing us and me with this opportunity to be able to have this platform. Today is April the 25th, 2017. I want to send my condolences and memory out to Lefty Lopez. You know, I used to love her, and today makes 15 years since she passed away. In the news today, white folks are still mad about the statues that are being torn down. I am in the process of inviting a few angry Caucasians on who would like to discuss the historical value of their statues being removed. I've been on Facebook all day arguing with them, but I'm trying to schedule a show for Friday, so hopefully that will come to pass. Also in the news, Arkansas executed two men on the same day, which is just egregious. But again, that's the state that we live in America. I really didn't have too many news articles that I wanted to talk about today. I do plan on getting into the war and presidency within the coming weeks, some health issues, and having a day where the youth can come on. But today, we've had us in studio as a special guest, a pastor, Darius Jeffries. He's the pastor of Greater New Beginnings Baptist Church in Luling, Louisiana. He's been the pastor there for about 2 years. He's celebrating 20 years of preaching, 20 years in the ministry. He also is a mentor at Destrehan High, and a part of the Union Baptist Association, which he has the mission. That's quite an accomplishment, brother. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Also, I have on the line Andre Washington from Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to the line. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. And also, Sister Kadir on the street. I'm from Chicago, but presently residing in Gulfport, Mississippi. Sister, thank you for joining the show also.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Peace and love to all the listeners out there. Thank you for joining us today. Today our subject is walking your walk with Christ in an evil world. And we're also going to touch on depression and toxic stress in the black community, which is leading to a lot of suicide and a lot of schizophrenia, a lot of undiagnosed and untreated mental illness going on in the black community. And with Reverend Pastor Jeffries, who is the head of a black church, I'm sure that he encounters, I'm sure that you do encounter a lot of depression within your constituents. And so, you know, I want to get into that, how you handle that. But first, Pastor Jeffries, you said you have been a minister since you were 14.
Actually 12.
Okay, and when did you begin preaching in the pulpit?
I started actually preaching in the pulpit when I was 12, in my hometown of Canton, Ohio, Antioch Baptist Church.
Can a 12-year-old really understand what they're saying to a congregation?
You sound like I'm back in high school now. It's a good question. Well, I think, actually, the motto in which I've heard recently is that even you know, Jesus started preaching when he was 12. So I'm in good company. I would say to be transparent for me, I knew I was called. Did I know everything I was saying? No, but I was grateful that there were persons who saw a call and recognized the call to give me a platform and the opportunity to share my gift. And certainly their interest and investment has not went in vain, because now I've been at it now for over now 20 years.
20 years, that's a long time. So has it been hard for you to maintain your level of righteousness? You know, being a young person, I mean, I know my younger brother, he's been in a church all his life, and, you know, we can't mm-hmm. ride in his car. He got the church music playing, can't play anything else. He's really into Jesus, and he really is into the church, and he's involved a lot. But, you know, there still are things in life. So it has it been hard maintaining your righteousness in your, you know, coming up in terms of, you know, those younger years when most people were partying and, you know, at the peak of their sexual life? Was that hard for you?
Yeah, it was difficult, because there are always temptations around, not just in the world, but also in the church, because I think people kind of lose sight of we're dealing with real people who come to church. We're not superficial or artificial people who come to church, so we're real people. And, of course, the more opportunities, the more exposure I got, the more temptations that were there. Certainly, I've not gone these 20 years without pitfalls that I have failed because of my own doing, but then some was because didn't have proper covering or mentors, and people kind of took advantage of me as well in the church. But it did not ever cause me to question, was I called, or what God was calling me, what was God calling me to do. So I would say definitely I have been divorced. And so I've lived life long enough to know and to deal with my own issues and struggles, and I think that's where God uses us best, because we're not perfect people, but we are vessels being used by Him.
Good answer. I definitely liked your comeback about Jesus preaching at 12. That was very true. you know, the state of the black church. The church is perceived differently today. Personally for me, every now and then, even though I'm Muslim, every now and then it's necessary for me to go get a little dose of the church. Like, I just need to hear some singing and some, you know, preaching,
mm-hmm.
although I would prefer teaching. And which one do you do, brother? Do you preach, teach, or both?
I do a combination of both. I think we're in the age where nobody's dumb. Everybody can read. So therefore, the pew is more educated, and stuff that you could say in the 60s and 70s that would enlighten people. You know, people are more educated now. And people are looking not just to shout on Sunday, but how to make it Monday through Saturday.
Right.
So I do both. I say teaching, you know, teaching instructs. Preaching, you know, makes people happy. So old folks used to say, or preacher friends of mine used to say, if a steak is good, it make its own gravy. So so I try to focus really on the teaching part and empowering people to make it Monday through Saturday in terms of what they've done on Sunday morning.
And that's very interesting, because I've always felt like, for the most part, that black preachers do more building up emotionalism in their practitioners than instructing them to live rightly guided lives and righteous lives. It's like, this, I'm just speaking from my perspective and
uh-huh.
you know, growing up in the church, that Sunday becomes a show. And you got some people that show up on Wednesday to prayer service and that are really dedicated and, you know, church. But for the most part, to me, it seems like Sunday comes off as like a big show and the preacher gets everybody worked up and the purse strings come open and, you know, then everybody go home, throw their Bibles away, and they really don't think about church until next Sunday. And that's just not sufficient for today. You know, what is the church today, particularly your church, present day doing as it relates to instilling righteous behavior in your congregation and maintaining that righteous behavior and
growth, maturity, growth. What is it doing to instill growth and maturity instead of just coming to church and getting your 1-2 when you get your feelings off and all of that other stuff, but you go home to your same reality. You go home the same person that you came to church as. So while I'm at home, I'm feeling good for that day, but then that'll wear off. You know what I'm saying? That emotional high you get from going to church is gone. You know, so now I'm at home. My reality steps back in. I got to get up, go to work, this job I don't like, whatever, whether I like it or not. All the turnaround, and it's like almost like working for a weekend. You know what I'm saying? We work instead of raising bosses, we raise employees working for a weekend. Instead of raising humans that just be, we raise all these different religions, and at one day of the week or whatever day of the week you guys schedule it, here we go over here and we do this on this one day, and then there's no growth from it. You know, I'm not saying I haven't, you know, studied in depth of all religions. I was raised Christian also, you know, and I bumped shoulders with Muslims here and there. My cousin Jade is a Muslim too. I've learned much from her as well. But I'm just at a point where I feel like all written, anything pre-written or prior to me, in a lot of ways it concerns me, but in a lot of ways if I didn't pick up a book and I feel like now that I have shaken all the religions and everybody's influence off me as a 47-year-old man, I am more freer a human being than I ever was in my entire life. And I mean this. You know, I'm not saying my world is hunky, everything is sweet over there. No, it's not. I still got to, you know, live by the laws of the land, you know, but for the most part, as a person, who I am.
So you're saying you don't confine to any particular religious theology?
No, none whatsoever. I can learn more from a lion in nature than I can from about myself than I can from any book that I ever picked up.
That's an interesting perspective. What do you say to people, particularly black men, who are disenfranchised with the church or religion in general?
Well, I think the state that we are currently in, not only has the church failed black men, but its own community has failed black men.
Isn't the church the pinnacle of our decision making as far as the community is concerned? So wouldn't the church be first, because that's what we pack into every Sunday? We pack up in there, and there's at least one, maybe two, maybe three surrounding every hood, every ghetto. There's at least 3, 4, 5 churches. So tell me why do the ghettos, do the hoods, and you know, quote unquote ghettos and hoods, why do they suffer from so much destitute when all these years we have been pouring all this energy into these establishments and all these entities? Where is the return on those investments, and why does it look worse than it ever did and keeps getting worse? Why?
Well, I think you raise an excellent question. Let me address the first thing.
I'm asking these questions based on my experience, nothing more.
Okay. I think the first thing is outside of the church, even before the church was established, family, the home is no longer a priority.
We don't take the values, and though they might have, we might have laughed at them. I grew up, I was raised by my grandmother. I was not raised by a father or a mother. And a lot of those values, as I begin to get older, I laughed at. But I find myself going back to those values. And those values, though they may seem petty, kept well, I'll say me, off the streets, out of jail, off of drugs, and wrong environment.
So basically, going to church keep you out of the grasp. Keep you out of the grasp of the lawmakers, pretty much. I mean, in a nutshell, that's what you just said. Going to church keeps you out of the grasp of white folks, because if you do drugs, you're going to jail. If you sell drugs, you're going to jail. If you do this, you're going to jail. If you do everything and anything against what Jesus told you to do, you're going to jail. That's not only what I'm saying. That's been my experience and a whole lot of other brothers around me.
Okay.
And not around.
Well, certainly there's some people who've done stuff that didn't get caught. That was a level of
welcome to the show.
Yes, sir.
A level of grace that was given. But I think we have to get back to the basics. I think we've gotten so far out of what did work, those mm-hmm. principles, those values.
But how can
that
we
we've kind of lost?
But how can we continue on with something that hasn't promoted any substantial growth in us as a people? I mean, it's a total reversal. A total reversal. We were better when we were first made slaves in America, as opposed to where we are now. And we've been practicing Christianity since then, maybe even a little bit before then. But it's gotten worse. And I'll always go back to the pinnacle of my decision making, my religion. That is supposed to be the height of my decision making, the most successful point of my decision making.
No, not now.
Can I share something, brother?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Can I share?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes.
I would like to say, if we who carry any religious titles was to be respectful of the condition in which the human family is presently in, is an indictment on the body of our religion. None of the religions have worked because the condition of humanity is a reflection of a lack of diligent application on religious people's part, or a lack of sincere power that lies in the profession of the religion.
Right.
You know, in my 20-something years of practicing or studying religion, I have met the worst of people inside a religious circle than I have met on the outer circles.
I learned more
in
about
the outer circles
than I did in prison.
One of the outer circle things is, in the streets, that they don't lie to you. If whatever it is, you know, the consequences for lying, stealing, cheating, robbery, the consequences in the streets of darkness is immediate. Judge, jury, execution for the violation of the guidelines of the street code. And in religious institutions, there's a profession of these guidelines, but a lack of diligent practice. You know, so who becomes the liar? The man who never accepted morals from any street perspective, or the man who accepted morals from a religious practice but are found practicing other than what's verbally professed out of the mouth on a consistent basis? So religion in itself is of no value at our present state of condition, because we keep saying our people this. If we look at the practical outcome, the large proportion of us have not really practiced our religion.
So let's get back
example
to humanity. So you're saying let's get back to humanity then, pretty much.
Because humanity
nail on the head, my brother.
Because religion, you know, we was humanity before we had religion. You see, the evidence before people formulated valuable rituals and put them into systematic value systems, we were always people who practiced our humanitarian, which is each of us have equal access to the resources of food and shelter without a price tag attached to need. But when religion came, you started having to pay in dues. You started having to pay in with a sacrifice. You see, so you're dealing with a whole nother biased. If you're not associated in my religion, then you are now withheld from the resources of my religious gathering and our harvesting. So if you're not of my religion, now I can't feed you, you know, because you're not of my religion. So now that's the gangbanging on a religious term or a spiritual title. You see?
Right.
So religion is never going to work if humanity is ever going to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Interesting perspective. I do appreciate everybody joining in. This is such a wonderful conversation. Pastor Jeffries, you know, I know you the – well, are you the – Huh? Well, Pastor Jeffries, are you still here?
Yes, I'm here. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I know that you have to get this a lot from, you know, the younger generation or the younger men who look to the church, you know, from a different perspective. You know, I see that the church is full of women, and a lot of these women are going through problems. They're single mothers. They're depressed. You know, and you as a pastor having to counsel and be an example and, you know, then you got your walk with Christ and also being an example. Could you speak to that in terms of how you balance being the example of a pastor over a whole congregation? Because I don't think that I could handle that. Where people are looking to me for religious instruction and looking at my behavior too, because I might sneak off and smoke a blunt or something. I'm just saying, you know, it's to put yourself in a position where people are looking to you and looking at you, not saying in the place of Christ, but you're definitely supposed to be following a little better than the traditionalists. Then how do you do that? I know as a Muslim, we have obligations to raise the dead and carry ourselves a certain way, and it's not just based upon being a church. If you're not living this, then you're not it. What you say out your mouth is, I can say I'm a Muslim and not be living it, so I'm not that. So how do you balance that? Because I want to get you in this conversation.
Yes, it's very difficult because not only do people look to you as their pastor, some are looking to you as their father figure, some are looking to you as their counselor, their doctor, their lawyer. Sunday morning, you have to really address all the needs of people. You have to address people where they are physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, and spiritually. And sometimes I agree with the two brothers, we have done an injustice in church in terms of trying to minister to men. It is one of the ministries that go lacking. You know, women's, they're usually supported by other women, and men just kind of are there. So I think we've done injustice in terms of getting men and really dealing with the issues.
Can I say this? And I don't want to be offensive,
yes,
but a lot of the black men, they're not trying to hear that Jesus kind of attitude, dude. They're not. The philosophy is no longer sufficient for what we're going through, you know. And the preachers are not,
right,
the black preachers are not really, they're speaking on prosperity. They're speaking on all these other things that have nothing to do with the struggles and the plight of the black man. And, you know, talking about what Jesus is going to do for you every day, it's like Malcolm X said, what Jesus done for me lately? You know, and I'm not a black man. I'm speaking from an extremely strong position as a black woman who I don't really want to hear turn the other cheek, because my God has given me the right to defend myself. So I think that even the younger generation, they're leaning more towards Islam because it does something to the warrior spirit inside and
like
gives them it ignites something versus what we believe to be like a slave teaching where you just be passive, and that picture of Jesus suffering silently is a lot of people not feeling that.
A lot of people. Can I share something, Sister Jada?
Oh, yes, sir.
A lot of our people have never in thousands of years been exposed to as much information that is available to them today. So today, if you're ignorant, it's of a choice, because you actually are in the information age. you know, where there's no subject matter that is a subject matter that some data or information is not available to the person who seeks to desire understanding. And that's
right.
From all religious vantage points. Religion in itself has evolved outside of its normal rituals because of newfounded information, new vantage points. That's why the Jesus Christ factor is no longer as effective as it used to be, because not evidence proved that Jesus couldn't bring the white. You know, that right now a lot of the Christians are looking at the Bible, they read it for themselves, they say Jesus is going to highways and byways among heathens and sinners, but then they dodge the sinners and the heathens. You see, but it comes to all the teachers. Like when I look at a man like, I don't know my brother, but I take my hat off to him because of even the noble attempt to go after people whom the book said that I don't find none good, not one. You
right.
know, but that still don't negate our responsibility to when we gave our word to a man who said, "Would you help me?" You know, people say, "Brother Ro, why are you doing what you're doing? What you get out of it?" I said, "Man, I ain't had no purpose at one time until I met Elijah. Now I agree with Elijah. So I do what he said. I don't have no new knowledge of my own. I don't have no philosophy of my own. I don't have no, I found this religion or I discovered this religion. I found to agree with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's points of view about everything. So I am an advocate and follower of him." Now, sometimes those of us who follow leaders in religion, we are not perfect. You're going to always find, if you're looking for a reason to deny religious value on a so-called follower's practices, no religion is ever going to have followers.
My friend, you said that we're not perfect, meaning in a sense I would have to think about all the examples of what perfection was that have been laid before me or even orchestrated, so to speak, you feel me? So I'm just when you go to talking about religion and you go to talking about well, what is religion? Way of life. At the end of the day, that's the way of life.
Right.
Well, let's look at what our way of life really is. It's going to work, getting money, and then after we've done all that, we pay it all out, and then we left with enough to kick it on the weekend or have us a little something. You know what I'm saying? So it's. What I'm really trying to say
that
is that
that doesn't have to be the reality,
Andre.
I think every man gets what he strives for.
We should pay more attention to the motivations behind those who laid these paths before us. And
yeah,
what times were they in?
What you are saying, but it's 100% not.
Right, we're not.
I'll ask you this one because I understand where you at personally, right? Because I'm exactly in the same boat you in. The only difference in my boat is I already have pinpointed and accepted a definite purpose in life.
Right. Are you the same guy? Are you the same gentleman that mentioned humanity?
Yes.
Okay. So, Wes, I've pinpointed my own choice too, as far as that's concerned. I promote humanity, and any man or any race or any, I don't care if I'm a part of it, because who knows what tribe we're really from this far along or throughout the ages. Who really knows? I mean, I'm mixed with a little something of everything. Puerto Rican and black, I know for sure, but there could be tons of other stuff that I'm mixed with tribe-wise. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know.
Listen, I'll say this about
Let me ask this question. Go ahead, bro. Well, the question that I want to ask is, outside of religion, because, you know, we have several people on the line. Everybody has different philosophies and beliefs or, you know, not connecting to any particular philosophy. What is the obligation of you brothers as it relates to these young men that are coming up? Later for religion, you know, I know the pastor's into mentorship.
What's your question again?
What
was your question
outside
again,
of religion,
Dana?
What is your obligation as men to the younger generation that's coming up?
Mine?
Go ahead, brother.
Like mentoring,
okay,
you know.
Okay, I'm not in. I don't do sets or groups. I don't hang. I don't have no cliques or congregations of people that I, you know, that, you know, I run around support this, that, and those, and the third. But what I do do, what my main concern where I'm at is my children, because a lot of people point the fingers at the young right now, and they say, no, they're the problem. They're the answer. Well, how did they get the way that they are? Well, who raised them? You understand what I'm saying? We totally leave all the responsibility for change on a generation after us, except instead of taking accountability for our part that we did and didn't play. Now, understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think, look, can I share this with you, sister?
Yes, sir.
The responsibility is right now being laid by you, by the brothers, those of us who are on this phone. You know, all of us are going to leave an example for the next generation to follow. Now,
yes.
As far as religion, it depends on how noble are you to following the religious leader in which you profess as your religious terminology. Now, if you follow any of these men, then you're going to find yourself being noble. You're going to find yourself being honorable. You're going to find yourself being peaceful. You're going to find yourself being a humanitarian. You're going to find yourself doing things outside of the normal, which immediately let the person you encounter know you are different.
Yes.
They're going to know you are a Muslim. You're going to know you are a sincere Christian. They're going to know you are a sincere Hebrew-like. They're going to know the difference because the way you illuminate your encounter with them is going to make them look at you entirely different. They're going to be like,
exactly,
man, there's something different about dude. You know
right.
what I'm saying? You ain't even got to utter your religion. If you got to utter
right.
your religion, then you are gangbanger. You see what
right.
I'm saying? So your job is not to, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim, I'm this, I'm that. Your job is to demonstrate kindness in the encounter of everybody you encounter.
Right.
And then from
that's
that, your religion
right.
is being judged by your encounter. You know, so many people, man, that's what I'm saying, in my journey of studying, man, the liars have, most of the lying people in my life has been people of religion.
I have a one issue with our youth today, and that's that they turn their guns inward and not outward. You understand what I'm saying?
Are you training them?
Issue.
So I had an issue. Look, that issue is going to exist.
I've always had a theory that they are the soldiers that turn the other cheek generation.
That's the we're talking about the right generation. That's the generation they could not find a name for.
Brothers, can I interject?
Yes, ma'am.
How's everybody doing? It's just Latrice. I want to interject because what I wanted to say was, as I'm listening to the strong men on the panel, the one thing that I hear that you all are unison on is the fact that your upbringing speaks volumes on how you turn out as a man and as a black man.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem that we face here in our society, whether it be church, whether it be Islam, whether it be Judaism, whether it be Buddhism, whatever sect of faith, I'm not going to call it religion, because you have some people who are spiritual and then you have some people who are religious, and I won't get into that now, but I'm hoping that you all will understand what I'm saying.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
That I think that is looming and dooming our community as African-American people, as they call us. The point that we're looming and dooming at this point in time in our society is because it's generational. It's generational.
Right.
If your father didn't know how to be a father, If your father didn't know how to be a husband, if your father didn't know how to be a brother, if your father didn't know how to be a son, what he taught his next generation, his children, trickled down from generation to generation. As a woman who knows both sides, Christianity and Islam, and being a Church of God of Christ minister myself, coming from the Patterson family of Gilbert Patterson, I'm here to tell you that religion does not play a role in evil. Faith does not play a role in evil. Generational curses play a role in evil. To overcome what is going on with our young men in this society, it's going to take more than just approaching these young men on a spiritual or faith-based level, because what they have seen, what they have heard, what they are listening to is telling them that there is only two ways that they're going to be evident in this society: die getting it or try getting it while dying getting it. And that comes from generational curses. Again, when my father's generation came up and his father's generation came up, the black man had come out of slavery. He was freed on paper, but his mentality is still locked up in chains. Whether it be a pastor, whether it be a bishop, whether it be an imam, whether it be a Jewish priest, the mind is a terrible thing to waste, especially when you have been mentally caged. The problem with our young men is not looking to the older men in the older generation for faith, spiritual, or religion. Their whole thing is, you didn't take care of us, so we ain't got to take care of the next generation. You don't care about what happened to me, so I'm going to go get it the best way that I can. Mm. It doesn't matter what door.
I think that's where the church and organizations and the mosque should play a key point where it is today. Like, I know Brother Roosevelt does mentoring. I know Brother Nabi does mentoring, and I know Brother Pastor Jeffrey does mentoring. There has to be programs that are rites of passages and programs that are set up to teach our black women. I'm not saying that they shouldn't involve a God-based or a spiritual base, but they definitely need to include some getting money skills. You can talk about
all of it, period, is a get money scheme. At the end of all of the religion, at the end of all of the education, all of them, religion, money is associated. Education,
everything.
Money is associated.
So that's religion, get money.
So religion,
Jesus went into the temple and turned the money tables over, and it's not supposed to be about money.
Because money already had been God and humanity at that time. See, money has always become God. Soon Caesar made money, Caesar made a God. So we're dealing with the material God. That's what you call fascism. So how do we take a generation that we so-called trying to save and take them from a system that is not controlled by us and the reward is not handed out by us? So right now,
brother, that's easy. Brother, that's an easy answer. You want to know what that answer is?
Yes,
if we cannot, if money is the root of turning this whole situation around, then we become the money. We become the money. If saving our black men,
do you work
if saving them? Our black,
do
yes,
you work
I do.
At this moment?
I own several, yes, I do. I own several businesses.
Can you personally hire 100 of them right now? Right now, if 100 youngsters came and said, I need a job, right now,
I can't employ 100 of them, but I would die trying to make sure that whatever I can give them, it will be sufficient enough to get them to where they need to go
exactly.
and what they need to do.
Right.
That is the problem. The problem is not, listen, what I'm saying is we know that money is the root of all the agony that has come in our culture and with our people.
Yeah.
Then why can't we make, they want to make America great again for them. How about we make our own America within America? Why are we still living by their system? Why are we still letting
right.
them dictate our lives and what we do and how we register ourselves? I don't
wow.
call myself an African-American woman because guess what? That's the name they gave me. I don't
right.
allow anybody to call my son African-American because he's
right.
not an African, and neither is he American. Because if he was an African, then he would have come from over there. If he was an American, he would be white as snow. So, no, we don't fit those billets. What we need to do is make an enterprise within an enterprise. We spend all of our money giving it to negativity. But what about taking care of home? We're the only
yes.
people who refuse
That's
to
it.
Care for one another. And until
That's
we
it.
Fix that, it don't matter what you do. It don't matter how you do it. Until we come to the table and we can break down these barriers with religion, with every other category that comes to keep us with our head down, we will never be anything. Never.
Anything.
Not on this earth. And so that's why we come into a reality with these young men. The young men that are out here now have a thought, and their thought is, it's my world. I'm taking what I got.
Thing.
I'm getting what I'm going to get. And if I got to step on your head or kill your mama to get it, I'm going
to
make it mine. And okay, so we're soldiers and we're weak.
So how do you reel that mentality in, whether you're coming from Pastor Jeffrey's perspective of Christianity in the church, you're coming from Islam or coming from a grassroots organization, there has to be programs to salute. How do we change that? You know, again, I
don't
know
how
to
change this.
Group economics.
Thank you. Thank you.
Group
black
economics.
People, black people practice
Wait,
group
listen,
economics in church.
Listen. White folks, support white folks support their own all day long. All those politicians, they all go to the same bar mitzvahs. They make it look like they're not on the same team, but every single one of them is on the same team. They got their
Thank
own
you.
Money, and they
Thank
leave
you.
Money. We sitting
we
around here worried
too.
About hiring.
Listen,
we worried
black
we don't
have
around
money
here.
Too.
We're sitting
yeah,
around here worried about being
dollars.
We pushing our kids off to school to be employees when these people is building empires, something that you can take pride in and pass that
That's
seed along. That shit goes so much
though.
Longer and so much further.
Right, right. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, making our children into owners and not slaves. That's Brother Roosevelt.
Teaching
well,
to build their own empires. We raising slaves.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother. You know how we can turn us around, and you know how we should have turned it around? If we want better, we got to do better. In order to get better, we got to have a soldier mentality like these young men and young women. If we want an enterprise, we got to take it by force. We need to collapse this whole economic system. We need to collapse it. They're not the ones spending money buying cars, buying hair, buying meals, getting food
done. Can I say something
with
you, beautiful?
We need to shut this economy down, and we need to do it
ASAP.
All
right, listen. We can't shut down when we ain't got access to the knob on the water hose, all right? You can't put out a fire if you ain't got access to the water hose where the water coming. So what I'm saying to us is that, okay, from this moment forward, your conversation and my conversation and everybody's conversation, okay, I need you to pick a product, and I need you to become the sole provider of that particular product to every individual within your community. And then I need you to take that product and make that product available to every youngster that won't make that product available in the community. Then we go in our community and say, listen to me, we need y'all to support this product, because this product right here is the product that keeps our youth productive and honest and financially stable. See, the thing is, we as a community keep spending because there's not enough of us in the community being providers of that which we spend our money on. We have to become wholesalers.
We have to become like it was during the times of Moses and Jesus. Everywhere these men and women went, they always had marketing, what you call marketplaces, places where they were able to gather for food, gather for water. If you go and learn the history of bargaining, bargaining is always something outside of a so-called religious place. Meeting at the tabernacle, meeting here, buying what you need from the market, where everybody socializes and gathering at. I'm only saying to us, pick something your people have to consume and become a specialist in that which they're consuming and become the number one provider of that within your geographical location. That
right.
could be toilet paper. That could be soap powder. That could be bleach. I don't give a damn what it is. But until you start providing something your people have to consume, not maybe
right.
they might need to consume,
my,
but they have
we,
to consume,
we
then
do.
We become
we,
a power we, structure within our community because we got something to be able to say we control. We control the
we
toilet
do.
Paper coming in here.
We
and we
have
everybody on this.
We have done that. I can't forget about the young woman who, like, there's no she was creating her own market. She, like, I'm a barber myself, and I went to barber college. She braids hair, but nobody teaches how to braid hair, so she opened up her own school. Now the state came in, ran up in her school, took all of her books, shut her school down, and in so many words, I'm going to make a long story short, they told this woman here, we're going to set you up. You see what I'm saying? Every market we try to open up for ourselves, they come and make sure they get
that's
their
right.
taxes on it. Do you understand that?
Well, that's
and,
that
and then they changed the whole format that, you know, to make it fit, you know, civilized
yeah.
standard, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, they come with their policies and regulations
exactly.
to be part of productivity.
Exactly.
Now,
and I understand totally what you were speaking about.
We could beat them by the we ain't got to stop. We got to stop reporting to them like we scared. We got to stop broadcasting our success like we don't arrive. So people only know you got money because you broadcast you got money. People don't know what you got. You don't know the richest family in America. They ain't running around here saying, I'm the richest family. You don't know who the DuPonts are. You don't know who the Fords are. You don't know who the Rockefellers and in all of the people who control this world are. We saw them today. You wouldn't know who they are. See,
right.
Negroes have the policy of keep broadcasting their so-called success. I'm a millionaire.
Right.
I'm a billionaire. I own this.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So
okay,
those of us revolutionaries never broadcast
right.
what they own or what they're in possession as a resource thing.
That's an esteem issue that we suffer from lack of from our poverty. So we that's a given. We understand all that, and that's going to go on as far as the youth is concerned. You know what I'm saying? But as we get older, you know, well, I'm not even going to say the generations as they get older, but now that I'm older, I've shed all that. You know, I don't care what you think of me. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need this. I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even need religion.
But can
all
I ask
the only
where
way
is God
life...
in all this?
Say it again.
Where is God in all this?
God is look, I'll tell you this. God is the actual force that's guiding every one of our lives. God is the actual person speaking.
Right.
The whole point, we got to stop looking for God and practice who we are. We are God.
Exactly.
We are the creators of our destiny.
We can't put, right, I understand the brother. We can't put God in a box. He's with us, always has been with us. That's if you even believe that all the, I mean, there's so many different stories in that aspect. I don't even want to go into that. But,
so would you answer
I mean,
God? You
How can he not be a part of our lives no matter what we're going through? You understand what
so
I'm saying?
What I'm saying
how can
black
not?
People have become seriously unrighteous, and there is no God-like conscience to me in the black community. You know what I'm saying? Black people, there were things that we used to do not do. We used to
thank
not
you.
Commit suicide and the way the women dress today and all the gay stuff on. It's like black people have just become, our behavior, you know, and not just the money issue, not just the youth, the children, just our morals. Where is God?
Yes. We promote death, not life.
Yes.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at. Our actions promote everything that leads to death or ignorance, but nothing that leads to life. You understand?
So
Right.
How could you promote? Here's the thing.
Because we are too busy following formats that are before us, instead of just reaching inside of ourselves where the true power is and just doing right by ourselves. Our children. You understand what I'm saying?
Correct.
We're too busy looking for
like
love, admiration, and
the necessity of a church or the necessity of a mosque.
We're too busy looking for love, admiration, and respect from people who don't even love us.
I believe that those institutions are really needed, but I believe that we have to sincerely point the finger at those who are part of the institutions to be responsible for their due diligence. If you're going to say the mosque or the church, then I can immediately leave responsibility on all of their shoulders. Because to say of any of those two,
why?
The advocators.
Listen,
if they are the advocators.
But we're all adults.
We're all adults in this situation.
And so the thing about that is, I think what's going on with us is that we still have that Willie Lynch mentality. I'm going to blame this person because this is happening to us. I'm going to blame that person. What about holding ourselves accountable? Because there's
I'm saying we should take full responsibility for ourselves. But if you're going to ask the question of where's religion or where's God, then automatically to even suggest that they need to be present or they should be discussed is to bring them into a responsible position in the scenario. I'm saying that if you listen to a Muslim, that Muslim ain't going to tell you he ain't got the answer. If you listen to a Christian, that Christian ain't about to tell you he ain't got the answer. If you listen to a Jehovah's Witness, that Jehovah's Witness ain't about to tell you they ain't got the answer. All of them say they got the answer. But if we go into that society and then start measuring the function of society, none of the goddamn religions got the answer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying deny the religion. I'm only saying that if each of the religions turn up the practical practice of their religious beliefs, we will be outdoing Satan. And
right.
Then certain ones of us won't feel comfortable in our individual world. What is evil? You see, is a man still in his basic survival needs for food today? Is he evil? Is he a thief? Is he a criminal?
Okay, so what would happen? I'm just throwing this out there. What would happen if all brown people got together and there was no such thing as a church? There was no such thing as a mosque. There was no such thing as a synagogue. What if we all got together and it was all about being brown and that was it?
We would look to our strongest brother and appoint him the leader of our tribe and hope to God that he don't get killed down or
okay.
assassinated.
Okay. My point exactly. My point
all right.
exactly.
All
in
right.
order to move in that direction, every door of every mosque, every church, every synagogue, every type of faith-based place will have to close its doors, and we will have to become on one unison level where there
under
is
one roof.
No faith
under one roof.
And that,
under
and
one
that's
roof.
How you build an enterprise. That's how you build an enterprise. Because guess
system.
What? They don't think about when you think when they go into these Catholic churches that they're sitting there and saying, "Well, your family is Jehovah." No. That's not how it works. We all fall up under the Queen of England. We all fall up under Pope Francis. Even the Black Church pays dues to the Archdiocese. When we come up under the system itself, that's when we come from up under the system itself, and we build our own. And we become our own, then
yes.
and only then will we be powerful.
Yes. Yes.
Sister, what you're saying
it.
Is not to build our own. I'll ask this question. All we got to do is preoccupy the already existing space that we have and take sovereignty over that. Take control of our home. Take control of our food. See, what we're saying is so true. The only reason the Vatican was as successful as it was is because the Vatican took our belief system and gave us theirs. The Vatican is the number one conqueror on the planet.
I wouldn't take pride in that method as much as I would take pride in something that I built and started from the ground up.
Thank you.
Understand what I'm saying?
Thank you.
I couldn't, and therefore that seed couldn't possibly be passed on. You see what I'm saying? So nobody else would understand. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
At this point,
I've never taken pride in anything anyone has ever given me. Okay, you give it to me, I'll burn it and fuck it off real quick. Bye. You know what I'm saying? That's just the nature of who I am. You know, but then when it's something I have to put work into, when it's my own creation, I'm going to cherish it and I'm going to groom it and I'm going to cultivate it and I'm going to take care of it. That's just the nature of men and women. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's evident in a lot of actions of our own. I mean, if we just take a look back and think.
Okay, but if you look at the situation, our brother is a minister. He's on the line with us. If, let's just say, this brother reaches out to the other brown pastors, ministers, deacons, bishops, and we all come to an agreement. Let's talk to T.D. Jakes. Let's talk to Bishop Paul Morton. Let's talk to the mosque of Merriam with Farrakhan. Let's talk to all these people. Let's get together and say, listen, this is what our state is. We ain't coming in this four walls with religion. We're coming in here because in this building, there are some people who are nurses. In this building, there are some people who are iron workmen or you know, locksmiths and things of that nature. If and when we can get on one accord and we can where we all can, it sounds beautiful, and yes, it can happen. Because if we can get together and celebrate the birth of Elijah Muhammad for Savior's Day, and we can fill up a stadium the way we do, if we can get together and sell out Beyonce tickets and make her rich, if we can get Million Man March, we can do all this stuff. How come we cannot get together with all of these elders from these churches and these mega churches and all this money that's coming in through the African, well, the brown mosque and things like that?
On a local level.
I can answer that for you. It's because we have taken every march, everything that we have. We're so used to it. We're so immune. We're numb to it anymore. They mean nothing. They're just events. It's just entertainment.
Wow.
Oh, hey, wow, we did that. Okay. But we
this
never.
Is why I think that.
Nothing ever gets accomplished with all this marching and marching and marching and marching.
Listen,
what has gotten accomplished?
Something did get accomplished. What got accomplished is that each one of you witnessed the possibility for unity.
Yes.
If it had never happened, we would not have an
I would have never thought it was possible.
Of ever happening.
Good answer. You
got to realize what we act like now as the people. We already have had every success put before. We want this thing to happen in our lifetime. No, find your niche. Find your purpose and do it. Elijah Muhammad was given a purpose. Malcolm X was given a purpose. Malcolm Garvey was given a purpose. W.E.B. Boyd was given a purpose. All of these men are no longer present, but their purposes and what they accomplished with their definite purpose should be reviewed by us as we apply our purposes. And then we got something to critique our purposes from. If we're going in a direction where we try to reinvent the damn wheel that's been invented already, then we can stop right there and say, damn, there's no need for me to reinvent something that's been done before.
The Million Man March brought more people together than any other gathering of black men and women of color. It brought more than any other gathering. It brought men of all races, of all religions. Because nobody came in there talking about Jesus. Nobody came in there talking about Allah. Nobody came in there talking about Buddha, whoever, whatever. It was just millions of men and women who didn't care about the divisions that they were or sets that they claimed. They were just there for one important cause, and that's righteousness. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's
right.
What we need to get back to. We need to get up out of ourselves and our self-righteous and all our righteousness or whatever tribe we from or whatever you want to call it, or set or religion or whatever. Let's just leave all that alone. That's the beginning. That's my fight. That's mm-hmm. I attack that purposely because I know that I wasn't raised or born. I wasn't born into a religion. It was whipped on me. While I was incarcerated. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm thinking I'm dirty, and I got to hurry up and get this before I die, a foul death or something like that. So then, but I had the mm-hmm. chance to love
That's
myself for who I was. Do you understand what I'm saying? Before I start taking on all these religions and trying this and trying that and faking this and faking that, I loved myself, and I had that to fall back on when I became an older man. And that's why I choose to promote humanity over any of that crap, because it doesn't bring us together. It divides us. Now, we can all compromise and come to an understanding of how we're going to live together. That's one thing, because I do understand we all from different cultures, walks of life, tribes, whatever you want to call it. You understand what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, we don't stop with my way is the right way, my way is the right way, that way is the right way. We don't have a chance. Do you understand? We don't.
I understand you. 100. Brother,
and
thank you so much.
I want to thank you all at the end of the show. I want to thank Pastor Jeffries. I want to thank Andre Washington. I want to thank Sister Kadira LaCruz and also Brother Roosevelt. The conversation was wonderful. We didn't get to get into depression, but tune in tomorrow, please. Tune in, and we'll finish this discussion as we'll be talking about Brother Roosevelt's Young Entrepreneurs Professional Young Professional Entrepreneurs Boys and Girls Club and his life link. Please tune in tomorrow at the same time. Do call. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome.
I appreciate
Thank
all
everybody.
Y'all.
Thanks, everybody. All right. Yeah, thank you, too,
thank
brother.
Thank you for everybody.
All y'all. The sister, the pastor,
I love y'all.
I love you, too. We all serve. We all want the same thing. So that's God talking the same thing in all our ears. So forget the divisions.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm with that.
Yeah, we all listening from this to the same God. That just let me know that.
With that being said,
right,
I'll tune in tomorrow.
Love you, cuz.